All right, Emes is. Can I say it often? When we on a Thursday night, that Bezin Shem next week, hopefully, Shira will be in Yerushalayim HaKodesh. But last night, when I was zoicha to be in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, I was really deeply hoping that Shira would be in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, and that I would not have to be back here. And it really, at some points, felt like Mashiach was for sure coming. At that, you know, when you're at the pinnacle of Ne'ilah, with, as Rav Nevenzel says, the Kohen Gadol Mamish of Katz, leading the Ne'ilah, and Mamish Me'am Kusalev, the Vina Malkeinus and the Shema Yisrael's, and then you're there, and you can see Makom HaMikdash, and you hear the shofar blow, and we're tanting together, L'shana Bav Yishalayim, steps from Makom HaMikdash, and you really start to think, Vada, it's going to be coming. Like we're going to step outside and that's it. It's going to be Kibbutz Galios. And unfortunately, we're back here. Unfortunately, we're back in Chutz La'aretz. Unfortunately, we're back in Chutz La'aretz and Mashiach is not here yet. But Bezrat Hashem, the Kar of Mami, she's coming. Bezrat Hashem is Baruch. We're getting closer and closer to that time. And there's all geula and all simcha and all bracha. But until that time, we're together learning Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found in His Torah wherever we are at every moment. And that's how, through Torah, all that we worked on and all that we achieved through the Yom Narayim and Yom HaKippurim can continue. Only through Torah. You know, so I had the schus to be in Eretz Yisrael for about a day and a half. And Emes is in that day and a half. There's so many stories and so much happened and so much I want to share with you guys. But if I started doing that, we'd be here all night. Because it's amazing. I could be in Chutz La'aretz for like a few months straight and have no unbelievable stories. And you go to Eretz Yisrael for one day and you could have 10 of them. You know, it's like the Sefer I had the schus to put out for my son's bar mitzvah last year. So I ended, some of the Chevra learned to say for knows, I ended every piece with a story. Most of the stories, if you look through it, most of them had, maybe even all of them, I don't have to go through it again, I don't recall offhand, but most of them definitely, if not all of them, have some connection, either happened in Eretz Yisrael, or are very much connected to Eretz Yisrael. Because that's where there's so much more Gilei Shechina, and so much more Kirvas Elokim, in a very revealed fashion. So I want to start with a story, but this is actually a story that happened in New York, but it was on the way to Eretz Yisrael, so it's already Bederech Eretz Yisrael. It was in JFK Airport. And I get there and I'm checking in, and I look and I see who's there. It was Meir Zeidman. Meir Zeidman, a chash of a Talmud, who also decided pretty much last minute, I don't remember when it was exactly, said he tried calling me, tell me, because he figured I would probably somehow would end up flying together, but never spoke to him. I didn't know till I was there, but he was on my flight going and my flight coming back. We flew in and out together, just for Yom Kippur. So we're together, so we're checking in together, and then we're walking together through security. And you know how it is now in JFK, they made the security that it's all some crazy long line upstairs, you can't go, you know how, not like how it used to be, and for whatever reason. And we're standing in line, and we're talking, we're schmoozing, and suddenly there's, like the way they maneuver us, and we end up there's a Hasidish woman in front of us with like three children, a baby, another child, and one child, a very cute little boy. He must have been maybe about 3 and a half, I'd guess. He already has up Sharon, so he's over 3, but he couldn't have been even 4, somewhere between 3 and 4 years old. Very cute little Hasidish boy with the shaved head and the long peis, and you know the whole look. And she turns around and looks at myself and Meir. And she asks us, "Do you happen to be wearing tzitzis?" I've never been checked for tzitzis before. It was pretty, maybe when I was much younger, you know, like it was interesting. I, you know. So we both, of course, we're wearing tzitzis. Like what? So my initial thought, right away went, maybe she wants to. This is very beautiful. I thought she wants to show her little son and. that, you see, even Jews that don't look like us, they also wear tzitzis, and they could be from, and it's good. And I thought she was going to bring out like a beautiful point of Achdus and of Avos Yisrael, and showing that. That's where I thought she was going. Why else would you? I didn't know why she wanted to know if I'm wearing tzitzis. I mean, so I didn't want to pull them out and show her I'm wearing tchelis. I don't know what she would hold of that. You know, you never know. Maybe then she'd say it's not tzitzis. I'm not sure. Anyways, Lemaisa, so we didn't. That was my initial thought. So then she says, "Do you mind if my son puts on your tzitzis?" So that was getting a little strange. Like, well, you want us to take off our tzitzis and. So she says, the cheder where my son goes, they found out that my son's not wearing tzitzis right now. Her little son wasn't wearing tzitzis. Now her little son, like I said, was about 3.5 years old. He's not a bar chinuch yet. I mean, we generally, when a boy's 3 years old, we give up and we put on tzitzis. It's nice, it's cute. We want to build the av already. But l'maisa, a 3-year-old doesn't really have avonis. Probably, I would assume, not even a bar chinuch yet for tzitzis. But but the cheder found out this boy wasn't wearing tzitzis. And it happened, how they found out, not well, they have spies in JFK, I'm not sure exactly. Mach some mezoinus, everyone's straight from the oil. This is Bechinas Eretz Yisrael. I came back. I have a viewer there. You have Bechinas Eretz Yisrael. And it was nice. Let's finish the story. So you missed a little. We'll catch up. But so the cheder, I don't know how they knew, but apparently they found that this is already second time that they found this boy that he's not wearing. He sits this outside the cheder, and they were threatening to throw this boy out of yeshiva. This 3.5-year-old boy, and whose mother didn't put tzitzis on him, obviously he has no idea, like I said, he doesn't know, but they're going to throw him out of yeshiva. So she told the cheder that she packed tzitzis in the baggage. I don't know if that was true or not true, I have no idea, this is what she told us. She told the cheder, but she had to prove that she had tzitzis on her, so she wanted to borrow tzitzis to put on her 3-year-old, take a picture, to send the picture to the cheder that they should see. They should see. Wait, what camera? With her iPhone, of course. That's not a problem. That's not a problem that she's going to be taking the picture with the iPhone to the cheder, but that the boy is not wearing tzitzis, the 3-year-old, they'll throw him out of yeshiva. So then Meir happened to have a second pair of tzitzis in his bag. So after we went through Echveithnisht over there, the security. And you have to take off all your clothing anyway, so it was good timing to put on. So Meir gave her the tzitzis, puts it on top of him. So first she puts it on top, and the tzitzis was much. You want to know how small the kid was? It was the whole tzitzis, the beged was much bigger than him. Not the tzitzis were dragging on the floor. The beged was dragging on the floor. You know, it was mamish. And then the woman's like, no, you need it underneath the shirt so it doesn't look like it's weird, you know? So he puts it underneath the shirt and the whole fake out, takes some picture with her iPhone, and gives back the tzitzis. So we're walking away. Mayor turns to me and says, Rebbe, did I do the right thing? Wasn't that Ganeves Das? So I said, Mayor, I'll tell you the truth. I was cheshbening the same the whole time. I don't know. I was cheshbening whether this is Ganeves Das or not Ganeves Das. One thing I know, that everything that just occurred right now is sheker. Everything was sheker on all the levels, and on many levels. So maybe 2 shekers, you know, negative times negative equals positive. So on one end, maybe you did right because the yeshiva is full of sheker, so you have to combat that with sheker in order to be, maybe. That was one possibility. The other possibility is maybe it's not even Ganeves Das. Maybe. I'm not paskining right now. I'm just telling possibilities that I was cheshbening in my head. Maybe it's not Ganeves Das because Lemaisa, to send a picture, if they knew that this kid is not wearing tzitzis on an LL flight, they knew that this woman could borrow a pair of tzitzis from anyone on the flight also and take a picture. So maybe it's not even Ganeves Das because they knew that that's a possibility when they're just... Maybe. You could suggest that as well as far as on a Ganeves Das level. But forget about the halacha and what the right thing to do. I honestly don't know. I spoke it over this morning with Rabbi Leibowitz. Told me he's going to send it to Rabbi Zilberstein, and we'll see. It'll be written up in one of his farm. It's one of those shilas, you know. It's one of those shilas. that we always question whether those are really true or not. The mice, they probably all of them happen like this. It is what it is. So, what I know is it was sheker, but sheker. And what I know as well is, for me personally, it was an unbelievable chizik going into Yom Kippur. As I left America, la'aliyat la'aretz Yisrael for Yom Kippur, in reminding me that the whole entire avodah of all of Yom Kippur was to find emes. To find emes within myself, to find emes in my avodah, to be emesdik in the highest of levels. Because when I was involved with so much sheker, it's clear that we have to search for emes. And hopefully that's what Yom Kippur was for each and every one of us. Hopefully we went through the day yesterday, and throughout the day we found more and more emes. More and more emes in who the Rabbanu Shel Olam is in my life. More and more emes. More and more emes in who I'm supposed to be. More and more emes in what this world is about. More and more emes what life is about. And not to be pulled into Olam Deshikra. That's what I believe Yom Kippur was for all of us, and hopefully for all of us. And the question is, and we're going to talk about it a little bit tonight, how do we keep that? But let's start tonight. After going from Yom Kippur, we could start. We've been over the year, over the last at least few months, at the table learning a little bit more and more Zohar. I may even Yavin why. He doesn't like us to say why, but because we have a Zohar now. And so tonight,
Cancer.
For Fua?
Yeah.
For Fua, Danielle.
Danielle.
Ben Miriam Leia. Bez Hashem Fua Shleim Vakarav Mamish. We're learning to be Schuster Fua. So we've been learning a little more Zohar. I think tonight we could start with the Zohar. Usually we have to build up because the Torah at the beginning is the mikvah for those of us that didn't go to the mikvah today. But now tonight, every year just went through a big mikvah. Every one of us went through a big mikvah. So every one of us went through a big mikvah. So we're ready. We're ready to learn Zohar. Who told me over Yom Kippur? Who was I talking to? Everything was so quick and I don't remember. Someone told me a story of Yom Kippur about a chassid. They were going to write a Sefer Torah. And he had the Sefer Torah. They wanted this chassid to write. And the chassid said, I can't write because I didn't go to the mikveh that day. So the Rebbe, who was it now? I'm sorry. The Rebbe told the chassid, no, just go in between two yidden and duck in between, let them surround you and come out, and that's your mikvah. Okay, whatever that means, I don't know. But what I do know, I don't remember who told this to me. Hashem Yirachim, I don't remember. And who the Rebbe was. But Lemaisa, I do know, Ashreichim Yisrael, lifnei miyatem tarim yimitar eschem avichem shemayim. The last Mishnah Numa referring to Yom Kippurim, Mikvah Yisrael, Hashem, Ma Mikvah, Matar Tamev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Matar Yisrael. We all just went through a mikvah, so we're all, whether we went through that, we all, Erev Yom Kippur, I'm sure we all actually went to a real mikvah, then we had the mikvah of Yom Kippur, we're all mikvah dik, Baruch Hashem. Hopefully it didn't wear off in one day. So Zohar says as follows, Zohar and Parshas Emor, I'm not going to read all of it, it goes through a little bit lengthy, and discusses how these days Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur were defeating Esav and the Yetzer Hara, Esav represented by the Yetzer Hara, until finally Bishas Ne'ila does parish Me'ama Kedisha. By Shas Ne'ila, it separates from us, it's gone. By Ne'ila time, we've defeated Yetzer Hara. Okay. Kevan du Makatriga Ozel. The Makatrig, referring to Yetzer Hara, the Satan goes away. This Parash Mineu separates from him. So then at that point, when there's no more Yetzer Hara, we're rid of the Yetzer Hara, which sounds, you know, meaning the Gemara, listen, the Gemara tells us that that's the one day a year when the Satan has no koach over us. Here the Zohar saying it's gone, we're separate from it. As Zohar says, because HaSatan is Gematra 364. One day a year, it has no koach, it's separated, it's gone. From all our avodah and all our tefillah, we're rid of the Yetzer Hara, rid of the Satan. So, what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? To be mesameach with us. And Maksiv, Yaakov Nasa Sukosa. That's Sukkis. Kevan di. Right? That's Sukkis. Sukkis is this man Simchaseinu. Because we got. Just turn it off. Because we got rid of the Yetzer Hara. We got rid of the Yetzer Hara. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, now I want to be Mitzimcha with you, and that's Sukkos. So listen, but the Zohar goes on. Kevin, Yas Bebe Sukkos. Ha'ish Tezivu Min Mekatriga. When you sit in your Sukkah, you're saved from the Mekatrig. Saved from the Satan. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu Chadi Bivnoin. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mitzimcha with you. I don't understand the Zohar. The Zohar says when we reach the Elah, so the Mekatreg is the Sparish Menei, it's separated from us, we get rid of it. But then it says we need the Sukkah, because when we're in our Sukkah, we're saved from the Mekatreg. Why do we need to be saved from the Mekatreg? We just got rid of the Mekatreg. Why do we have to be saved from the Satan? We just got rid of the Satan. What's going on? Why do we need Sukkah to save ourselves? Fine, to be b'simcha shkoyach z'man simcha seinu after we saved ourselves. But the Zohar says more than that. He says, ish tezvu min akatriga. When we're in the sukkah, we're saved from it. So we have to understand what this means. And we have to understand how the sukkah saves us as well. How the sukkah save us from this. So the beginning of the Torah is on the Shvila Pinchas. The Shvila Pinchas says that there's a famous Gemara Baba Basra. I'm sure you've all seen it or learned it at some point. The Gemara Baba Aser says that the Satan, the Etahara, and the Malcha Mavis are all one. It's one angelic figure. The Satan, the Etahara, and the Malcha Mavis. But what's the difference between the three? Why do they have these three different terminologies? And so the Etahara is that being, but when it's acting in a way of seducing us and of trying to penetrate us and try to be temptatious to us, cause laziness with us, the Yetzer Hara tries to get us to move away from the Ribbono Shel'Olam, to be involved in Isurim, Chatoim. The Satan is the Mekatreg. The Satan comes and the Satan argues with Hashem that we deserve Oinchim and we deserve Yisurin. That's the role of the Satan. That's when it's wearing that cap. And the Malach HaMavis carries out the Oinchim. The Malach HaMavis is what brings the Misa, or brings the Machla, or brings the Yisurin after it argues the Yisurin. So those are the three faces of that being, of the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, and the Malach HaMavis, which are all one in bringing downfall of Bnei Yisrael. Yer Chevra. So comes along the Shvila Pinchas. The Shvila Pinchas says that on Yom Kippur we're davening so well, we're one with Hashem so well, that the Satan has no koach and is separated from us. The Satan, which is the being that's Mekatrig, the being which is Visparish Menehu, the being that's arguing that we deserve punishment and we deserve Misa and we deserve and saying all the bad things we've done, that is no koach because we're being so good. The Ribbono Shel Olam laughs in the face. Oh, you're arguing my people? Look at them, they're angelic. You're telling me my people deserve X, Y, and Z? Look at my people. They're fasting for me, they're davening in shul all day, their mom is spilling out their heart, they're crying b'demos. If I tell you I'm watching the Kaisel Maravi 2 o'clock in the morning, Chilonim in the cardboard yarmulkes with shaved heads and earrings, crying to Hashem, sitting by the Kaisel, on this one day, there's nothing to Satan. The Satan can have no koach as a Mekatreg. What's he going to say to us on Yom Kippurim? What's he going to say? So we defeated that Satan. But the Shvila Pinchas says that very moment, even if we've defeated the Satan, the Satan's gone, that's when he changes his cap and goes right back to being the Yetzer Hara. He changes his cap and goes right back to try to seduce us to do wrong again, to do bad again, to be lazy, to fall into taiva. It's the circle of life of the fight with the Yetzer Hara, which never ends until Bias Mashiach, as the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis, tells us, when the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to shecht the Yetzer Hara, and then we will no longer have that battle. Which is also, as the Ramban explained, the Pasuk in Parashat Nitzavim, of the Milas Halev, Bizman Mashiach. the circumcision of the heart to get rid of the Yetzirah. But until that time, there's no such thing. So we might be able to be completely keneged and push off the Mekatrig, but not the Yetzirah. It's a world we never stop fighting. And here we are a day after Yom Kippur, and a lot of us, if we think to our day today, obviously it paled in comparison to yesterday. But it was close to yet what we thought it would be on yesterday. Yesterday when we thought about how Machar is going to be, how it's going to be the day after Yom Kippur, how our tefillos are going to be, how our mitzvos are going to be, how our brachos are going to be, who we want to be. Did today live up to that? Or did the Yetzirah already step into our lives, already create taiva, already create atzlos, already he's right there back fighting against us? And we can never think and rest from the Yetzirah. That's what the Zohar is telling us. The Zohar is telling us I have to go into my sukkah, not to be saved from the Satan necessarily, because that maybe we pushed away, but saved from the Yetzirah, which is right back at us. Right back at us. It's a little bit what I learned at the beginning of my trip to Eretz Yisrael. Some of the chever heard this. I told over this story in Shalvim, if you listened to the recording. So it's a chazara for some, but the muster from it I think is so important. That because I was going so short to Eretz Yisrael, just a day and a half, I was going so short to Eretz Yisrael, so I cheshbened out my time there. I cheshbened out my time there, and I wanted it to gain the most from every moment, and especially Erev Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur itself, it's cheshbin for me already. Kol Nidre, Ma'ariv, post-Ma'ariv, we have the yearly chizik at the Kaisel, and a little singing, and stay up with the Chevra till late at the Kaisel, and then all day you're in shul, all day, that's all taken care of. Okay, Matzah Yom Kippur this year was very short for me, because I was leaving like a cheshbin a couple hours. The Erev Yom Kippur is when I could cheshbin out. So it was very important that I wanted to get the most out of the Erev Yom Kippur. So I cheshbin everything out. When I got my ticket originally, it was great. I was so excited because it was getting me into. It said on the ticket, getting into Eretz Yisrael very early, 10:30 in the morning. Actually, 10:25 exactly. So that's great. That's like I could get a lot of time in. That's a great flight. It's a special 5 o'clock flight. Get in 10:25 in the morning. This is amazing. So I cheshbin how long is it going to take me? Because my first stop, I want it to be yearly. I try to go to Shalavim. It's where we have many, many talmidim, many guys I'm close to, so I could go give chizuk and Shalavim before Yom Kippur, see all the guys. It's very, very special for me. So that was what I wanted my first step to be. And then move on from there to Kever Rachel and some other things I wanted to do and get a lot in those few hours. So okay. Get on the flight. And the flight took off a little late. I got a little scared. It took off probably an hour later than it should have. But you know how it is. Somehow, and all the airlines, they always, if they take off late, they still tell you, don't worry because we'll make up the time in the air and we're still going to get in on time. For the life of me, I'll never understand what that means. They'll make up the time in the air. If they can make up that time there, why couldn't they get me in 9:30 if it would have taken on a time? Like only they make up the time if you can take off late. Suddenly they could make up. There's like special speeds they could go suddenly if you take off late. So why can't you go the speeds earlier? That's one of those mysteries of flights. But it is what it is, you know. Anyways, Lamaisa, even though we took off an hour late, I'm watching, you know, and we've all flown El Al, everybody, and they tell you exactly how much time you have left and what time it's estimated they're going to land. It's perfect. They're estimated I'm landing 10 minutes early, even though I took off an hour late. Okay, Shkoyach, this is great. I'm not complaining. So I had a great flight. Learned the first few hours, slept about 5-6 hours, woke up to Davin. It was a really perfect flight. You couldn't get better on the way there. Baruch Hashem, by this point, I have a method of flying. I mean, you know, with a little bit of help, I'm even Yavin to flying, but it's good. I have Baruch Hashem, a special tzaddik that helps me out with that. But okay, we're not going to explain that. We want this to go on YU Torah. But anyways, so it's all good. It's all good. We didn't go anywhere yet. So where is it going? So flight's perfect. We get on. It says we land. We hit the ground. 10:15 a.m. This is great. This is awesome. Now it took a few extra minutes on the ground to get to the gate. Didn't get to the gate till like 10:35. But Baruch Hashem, there was someone else on the flight I was with who had VIP taken care of. And he's like, come with me. You never know. Maybe they'll let you go. Boom. Go VIP, which was generally not the biggest deal in the world, but for here it saves a good 15 minutes, which for me every moment was precious. Fine, Tam Cheshbonin, go VIP, they pick you up on the flight, they drive you through security, boom, finished. I have no bags, walk out, go straight to the car rental. Nobody, no line by the car rental, Baruch Hashem, because that sometimes can take a long time. You know, the other person in front of you is arguing that they want to upgrade and this and that, the wrong car, and their credit card's not working. Here, no lines are perfect. Boom, they're ready for the car. I go outside. I'm cheshbening. Okay, but still takes a little bit of time. I'm looking at my watch. Based on my cheshben, it's about 11:05. The guy takes me to the car. You got to walk around the car and check out all the scratches on the car. The exact scratches. I don't know which scratches are yes, no, I don't know. Every time I return a car, I definitely scratch it up more. Never once had a problem. So, but Leah and her, I don't know why, but, you know, it is what... Except, no, I should say never once. I mean, a couple times I got into real accidents. Those times it is what it is. But, anyway, that's why you have insurance. Baruch Hashem. So... Maybe only one time that I remember, not twice, not a couple, one time in Eretz Yisrael. It was January of 2006. Did bad damage to that car. I shouldn't be driving. The only time I didn't sleep for a week, and it was 4 o'clock in the morning. Took the guys out from the TIV to go to get some cholent in Mea Shearim. It was pouring, you couldn't see. Some guy banged into me, or maybe I banged into him, whatever, I don't know. Anyways, Lemaisa, it's fine. It was all good. So... Where are we going with this? Oh, so I go in the car, turn on the car, and I turn on the car, and the car says it's 12:10. You heard the story from me, but we'll repeat it, don't worry, the rest not. The car says it's 12:10. I thought, so right away I get the guy over, I said, your clocks are wrong in the car, you gotta change your clocks. He says, what are you talking about? He says, it says 12:10. He looks at me, no, it's 12:10. I'm like, no, it's 11:10. He's like, no, he shows me his phone, 12:10. I said, you telling me it's 12:10? Yeah, it's 12:10. I'm supposed to be speaking in Shalvim 11:45. It's 12:10. I just lost an hour of my day. El Al had in their ticket, has on their system, they thought that in Israel they switched the clocks back already an hour, because sometimes this time of the year they do it. But they didn't switch the clocks back an hour. So basically, El Al stole an hour of my life. Stole an hour of my life. Stole an hour of my day. Then I'm chesbening, oh my gosh, what's going to be? Shalvim, Kibbe Rachel, Sudam HaSeket, I'm not going to eat before Yom Kippur, I don't know what's going to be. Because that would be the first thing to go for sure. I'm not going to go to my mother before when I go visit Eretz Yisrael. Like, okay, so eating is going to have to... Oh, is it a mitzvah to eat this day? I don't know. I was really cheshbening, well, what are you cut out first? What are you cut out second? Okay. So I call Shalvim right away. I call some of the chevra because I don't know what... If I should still come, maybe the guys have other things they need to do. Maybe they're not there anymore. So I call. I said, no, everyone's Rebbe. We're all waiting here. Where they got worried. Where are you? I'm like, it's a long story, but... Lemaisa, I just got my car... I know that the way you said 27 minutes, I think I could be there in 15, don't worry. So I said, if you want, should I come still? No, well, wait, don't worry. So Baruch Hashem, you know, after all, you could drive because it's kilometers. So you have no idea how fast you're going. So you might as well just drive. So 160. It's like Monopoly money, Monopoly speed. You don't know what is 160 anyways. It's not really 160. Am I going 80? Am I going 70? Am I going 60? I don't even know. So you just go. Right? That's how it goes. So you just go. You get pulled over. Alright, so you speak a little English and you get yelled at for a minute. It's happened. Anyways, Lemaisa. Lemaisa, I made it to Shalvim, and yeah, about 15 minutes, and all the guys were there, and it was very, very special. So why am I telling this story? Because I took such chizuk from this. I took such chizuk from this. In the sense that I thought everything was perfect. I thought everything was exactly the way I wanted it to go. I thought exactly as planned was going on. But MS was, it was complete checker. Emma's was, my day was completely off. And everything I thought was right was wrong. And Yom Kippur for each and every one of us taught us that, I think. Sometimes you think everything's going right and it's really wrong. And the Emma's is our whole life. We're fighting against this to find Emma's. That even though, as we said in the Zohar, on Yom Kippur we got rid of the Satan, he's not fighting against us because we were so strong. But the very next moment, the Yetzirah is coming back. The Yetzirah is coming back, and we have to jump into our sukkah, and we have to explain what that means, to save ourselves from this Yetzirah. And the Yetzirah is always trying to masquerade that things are going right, that things are good, that you're doing okay. He's always trying to create that facade for you. And rationalizations. The rationalizations of life is the greatest Yetzirah. And we have to search for emes constantly and defeat that Yetzirah. It's constantly coming back our way. There's a Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Emor, Chav Beis. L'kachtem l'chem b'yoyim harishon. We're getting ready for Sukkot. L'kachtem l'chem b'yoyim harishon. V'chi rishonu? V'alo yoyim chamish asaru? What do you mean b'yom rishon? It's the 15th day of Tishrei. V'ata amarta b'yom harishon? El rishon hu l'cheshbon avoynos. It's the beginning of the cheshbon of our sins. Imagine. It's the beginning of our cheshbon of our sins. I mean, the Yetzirah is back at it again already. Very strongly. And we could fall so quickly. It's interesting that it's on Tesvav Tishrei. In other words, there are 4 days that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam trusts us, we're going to stay connected to Yom Kippur still. It's like to say, for 4 days, okay, all those 40 days of Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Sar Shmei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, you know how long they're going to last? 4 days. Halavai, they should last 4 days. For most of us, I don't know if they'll even last 4 days. But that's what it seems. Already by Sukkis, Rishonu L'Cheshben Avonos. It's the beginning of Cheshben Avonos. So Yetzirah is back at it again. And even though every single one of us went through Yom Kippurim, and we got Kapara and Tahara, and it was amazing, and it felt great, so quickly we forget it. So quickly the Yetzirah is back at it. And we have to recognize this. We can't just sit back and relax now because the El and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is over. So we have to jump into our sukkah, the Zohar is saying. And the sukkah will protect us. How so? How's the sukkah protecting us? So when the Yetzirah starts, where does he start? He starts where he started originally. Where does the Yetzirah start? In the area of Taiva. Where was the first sin of mankind? Taiva Zachila. And Taiva Zachila is the foundation of all Taiva. Which leads eventually to Taivas Nashim, which unbelievably, and you all know the Torah, that Mincha, the final laning we lane from the Torah on Yom Kippur, is all about the Ervas. Because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam understands that's the downfall of man, is Taiva, is temptation. Reb Tzadik explains in Pri Tzadik that the Sukkah is Mevatel Yetzirah of Taiva. It's interesting, by the way. The only thing we make a bracha of Leishev HaSukkah is on Achila. On Achila. Even though Achila Sarai you're allowed to do outside of Sukkah. You want a little snack, you want to have a fruit, you want to have a drink of water, you're allowed to have it outside of Sukkah, right? Shina Sarai, you want to take a little nap? You're not allowed to take it outside the sukkah. So Achila, only Achila's kev is in the sukkah. But Shina Sarai's even has to be in a sukkah. But on Shina, halachically, we don't make a bracha. Only on Achila. Even if you read the Mishnah Berurah well, he seems to say you should make a bracha even on Shina. That's for another time we could discuss. Most poskim don't hold like that, but the Mishnah Berurah seems to say that, by the way. But he definitely does say, l'chachila, you should not do that. And that's why many of us have the minhag, even when you go to sleep at night, to take a mezonos in with you and to make a bracha, because the bracha primarily should go on the Achila. And it's on the Achila. Rav Tzadik explains it's on the Achila. Door's open, yeah? Keep it open. Okay. It's on the Achila. Because the whole essence of the Sukkah is to uproot and be Mevatel Taiva's Achila and Taiva in general. So of course we put our whole entire body in the Sukkah and try to be Mekadesh our entire body. As the Gra explains, there are only 2 mitzvahs we do with our entire body. Sukkah and Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Only 2 mitzvahs the Vilna Gaon says we do with our entire body. We're trying to mekadesh our entire body. But how does it work? How are mekadesh achila in the sukkah? What does that mean exactly? And how is a sukkah connected to the Yetzirah that's going against us right after the days of Yom Kippur? I want to share a Torah I've shared before that I think answers this all up. It's from the Halakha of Sifsei Chaim Friedlander. The Ramah teaches us if you're mitztayer from a sukkah, you're putzer from a sukkah because you're mitztayer. It's pouring rain. And you stay in the sukkah anyways. Not only are you not mekabel schar, you're like a shoita. Right? That's the lashon of the Marama. Not only do you not mekabel schar, you're like a shoita. I think, right? That's the lashon? I'm pretty sure that's the lashon. Why does that mean? Why? Say nechanami, you're potter. Maybe this is with nimi shuras din. Maybe say lemais. Okay, I'm potter, but I want to go. I want to be machmer. Why are you a shoyta? So Reb Chaim Friedlander explains, because you don't understand the very essence of what the sukkah represents. The Gemara tells us that the sukkah is a mitzvah kala she'ein bo chesron kiss. It's a simple mitzvah that lack simple understanding. Most people explain doesn't cost any money. Doesn't cost any money. Sukkahs are very expensive. These days it's very expensive even to put up your sukkah. People charge hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars just to put up a sukkah. Lemaisa, say why you can't do it yourself, I don't know, but it's a very expensive mitzvah. It's not expensive. Okay, maybe it's a one-time expense. It's very expensive, but expensive. But not ein bo chesron kiss. Chaim Friedlander says explains. What does it mean ein bo chesron kiss? What's a kiss? A kiss is a pocket. Chesron kiss means it's lacking a pocket. Ein bo chesron kiss means it's not lacking a pocket. What does it mean? So it's a double negative. It's not lacking a pocket means it has a pocket. What does it mean it has a pocket? It means it's a mitzvah that you do accept something. It's a mitzvah that you enjoy. We enjoy eating. We enjoy sleeping. We elevate that all in the sukkah. That's what it means to aim b'chesron kiss. If it's a mitzvah, yesh b'chesron kiss, that's a mitzvah that's lacking a pocket. That's a mitzvah like the carbon oila. That's completely for Hashem. You get nothing from it. Yesh b'chesron kiss. You get nothing. It's lacking a pocket. That's what the Sifzei Chaim explains. What does that mean? It's a mitzvah aim b'chesron kiss. It means it's a mitzvah that you're supposed to enjoy. Meaning what? You're supposed to take every aspect of your life and be mekadesh by doing it in a sukkah, and now suddenly it's a mitzvah. I'm eating, I'm doing it in a sukkah. I'm sleeping, I'm doing it in a sukkah. I'm hanging out with my friends, do it in a sukkah. There's a lashon in halacha, take a tiyul in the sukkah. I'm not sure what that means. Most of us don't have such big sukkahs, take a tiyul in the sukkah. But take a tiyul in the sukkah means, what it means is do everything you could do in the sukkah. And what you're doing is elevating your life, l'kedusha. And what the idea is, therefore, if you're mitztayer and you stay in your sukkah anyways, you're a shoyta because you don't understand what the sukkah is about. You're supposed to enjoy the sukkah. If it's a situation where you're suffering, that's not the way the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wants to use the sukkah. The sukkah is supposed to be take all the enjoyment of life and elevate it to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you're a shoyta if you stay in the sukkah when it's pouring rain because you're not enjoying that. That's not what the sukkah is all about. In other words, what, chevra? In other words, the whole essence of the sukkah is how to take Yom Kippur into the year, how to defeat Yetzer Hara always. One day a year I could defeat the Yetzer Hara by being angelic. One day a year I could push off the Yetzer Hara by saying, I'm godly on this day. I'm not eating, I'm not drinking, I'm davening all day, but that's for one day a year. I can't be a Yom Kippur Yetzer all year. But Yom Kippur is followed by a sukkah. And I'm in my sukkah, I get rid of the Yetzer Hara, the new Yetzer Hara. How? By taking everything that I do and not trying to abstain from it. Elevating it to serve Hashem. I'm going to eat, I'm going to drink, I'm going to sleep, I'm going to play games. In a sukkah, now it's kadosh. And try to take that into every aspect of my life. There's no aspect of my life that be void of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Hashem is found everywhere in every aspect of my life. And that's how I defeat the Yetzer Hara always. Who's the of the Avos is sukkahs, right? The Svarim bring down Yaakov Avinu, right? The Svarim bring down that of the Avos. So Avram is Pesach, and Yitzchak is Shavuos, and Yaakov Avinu is Sukkos. And the Makor we can find in Torah itself is the pasuk by Vayishlach, VaYaakov Nasa Sukkosa. Yaakov traveled to Sukkos, and he built there a house. Ulam Bikneu was a Sukkos, and he made also a makom for his cattle. He was dealing with his cattle. Meaning in that pasuk that refers to Yaakov and a sukkah, it's talking about him dealing with his cattle. Dealing with his physical gashmias. In other words, that's all essence of the sukkah. Be involved in the world. You don't have to abstain and be a Yom Kippur Yid. But you have to elevate it to Kedusha. That's what Yaakov stood for. Yaakov's made the Tiferes. And everyone understands Tiferes as the synthesis of Ava and Yira. The synthesis of Avram and Yitzchak. And the balance of having that proper Av and Yira which Yaakov represents. But I believe it's more than that. It's the balance of life. It's the balance of being involved and elevating anything I do to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If there's anything in my day and it's not for Avodas Hashem, I'm not Yaakovino, I'm not Sukkos, I'm not going to defeat my Yetzer Hara. There's nothing in my day that shouldn't be Kodesh Kedoshim. Nothing. On this flight to Eretz Yisrael, So I said Meir Zeidman was with me. Meir Zeidman was Meister Nefesh to go for a day. Meir Zeidman's in Colombia, and Mamish, a Kaddish Yid in Colombia. It's very rare. He's Yachid Shebichidim. But a Yid who has three Siddharm a day in Colombia. Three Siddharm a day in Columbia University. I don't want to Alpiscompel Satan, but asking other places who has three Siddharm a day. He has three Siddharm a day. He's going to be upset at me that I say this. But it's good chizuk for other people. Three Siddharm a day. And he was Meister Nefesh. He's in the middle of all these tests. He's taking all these tough classes. None of us understand what that means because none of us have gone to real schools. You know. Let's be real, right? Anyone in this room has ever gone to a real school? We don't know what this means. He's in a real school and taking real... Oh, that's not good.
That's totally fine.
Well, that's fine, okay. Nobody knows who's in this room. So, anyways, we're not going to mention any schools. We're not mentioning schools, but...
What'd you say? On their home turf.
Hashem, it's okay. So he's in the
email.
He's in Colombia. Yeah, it's fine. That's not fine. It's fine. He's in Colombia. And he's learning three Siddharm a day. And he decided, Moshe Nefesh, he's going to take off, and he's missing all these quizzes and stuff, but to go to Eretz Yisrael to be Yom Kippur by Kodesh Kodashim, it doesn't matter. He's going to do it. But he had a lot of work, so on the plane, I passed by him, and he had the book out. I don't know what Chesnish, whatever subject it was. I probably would not have understood a paragraph of it. It didn't matter. And he's studying, as he should have been on the plane, by the way. 100%. And I told him, look at this, Mayor. It's so beautiful. Here you are. You're Bederech to Eretz Yisrael. So you're involved in such a mitzvah and such schar halicha you're going to get. So now, what you're doing now, you've just elevated. All this is now mitzvah. So all the studying you're doing is mitzvahs. Because you're Bederech Eretz Yisrael. It's amazing. And we got into a conversation. And through the conversation, I was telling him, L'maisa, you have to just realize, everything you do is beautiful and wonderful. As long as you could understand and you're elevating it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then everything you do could be a mitzvah and wonderful. If there's anything in your life you're doing and you can't understand why it's getting you closer to Hashem and why it's building your avodah Hashem, then you shouldn't be doing it. It's that simple. But when we do that, then we defeat the Yetzer always. And that's what Sukkis is. So that's what Yaakov, you know what Yaakov Teferis means? I believe it's not just Avan Yira. It's blending and synthesizing on my entire life to the Eibishter. In everything that I do. So that's Yaakov Avinu. If you take Yaakov B'miloy, this is not mine, I saw this in the B'nai Yisachar. This morning on the plane. We'll get back to that story in a moment. The last hour and a half I was up, slept most of the plane around coming home, but the last hour and a half, and I was learning B'nai Yisachar, and I saw this Torah. He says, Yaakov B'miloy. So you spell out Yaakov is Yud Vav Dalet, right? And then Ayin Yud Nun. And so, right, Kuf Vav Pei. And Beis Yud Tov is 748. Exactly, Gematria, Samachta. V'samachta b'chagecha. V'samachta b'chagecha. Yaakov brings us the simcha of Sukkis, Sukkosa. Why? Because when you have this synthesis of everything in your life is for Avodas Hashem, suddenly now I have simcha, now it's all good. Because the MS is, on Yom Kippur I had a lot of simcha, it was amazing. But I know I can't be a Yom Kippur Yid my whole life. So to say I have to be like Yom Kippur all day to be b'simcha, forget it, I'm gone. I'd only go a few days, I'd be dead. I need to eat, I need to drink. I need to be normal. But to be a Yaakov Dikayid, a Sukkot Dikayid, that's true simcha, because then I learn how to take Yom Kippur, take the chizik of Yom Kippur into my life, be one with Hashem in everything I do. Yaakov Inu v'samachta. Yaakov is simcha. Basically, if you want to understand what I'm saying, it's taking Yom Kippur, taking all the chizik of Yom Kippur, and living all year like Purim. That's really what it is. Hamev and Yavin, everyone understands what I'm saying. But that's emes. That's emes. So that's what it means. That even though we got rid of the Yetzer Hara for that one day, we got rid of the Satan, but the Yetzer Hara is coming back, and we have to, by elevating everything our life to Kedusha and Tahara in the Sukkah, which is represented by the Sukkah, that's how I truly get rid of the Yetzer Hara. Truly get rid of the Taiva. But it all starts now, guys. The Haskalah, what we do with these days, is most important. We said in the Medrash Tanchuma that now what to mean l'kachtam biyom rishon, it's rishon l'cheshben avoinos. It's the beginning. You have to understand how choshev the beginning is. What we're doing with these days, what we're doing Sukkot, what we're doing tomorrow, what we're doing Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, how we start the year after Yom Kippur. Listen to the Toldos Yaakov Yosef. Toldos Yaakov Yosef, the beginning of Kisavo. He says as follows, the Heilige Tzaddik, to Toldos Yaakov Yosef from Palanoi. Shalom Yom, you remember when we were there? On the side of the road, by Toldos Yaakov Yosef. I had this chui, I had this chus to be by Toldos Yaakov Yosef. So he says this, he's talking in Parashat Kisavo by Bikurim, which are the first fruits. So he says, V'chein b'chol dover, by everything. B'chol chushi adam, by every chush, every thing, but nothing, everything you do, every aspect of a person. Yereishis Lashem. You have to start the beginning of Lashem. Heim b'dibur, when you start speaking, b'tinok, by a child. Baruch Hashem, we have a mazel tov to a long-time member of the Shir, Yecheskel Shrier, who's Bez Hashem, the Mizoich El Echnisel Brisar Abbi Tivizvano, tomorrow morning, to his Bechar. Took the Chever, my children, to do Vachnach tonight. So, when this baby, Bez Hashem, his Baruch, will start talking, the first words you should teach him, Torah Tzivalanu. You have to start with Kedusha. First, not mommy, daddy, Torah Tzivalanu. Although maybe mommy, daddy also is good because that's Kivat of Aim, that's also Kedusha. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's not a bad thing. MS, not, I didn't mean that wasn't a joke. It's a laugh, and I didn't mean not to laugh, but I meant MS, that it should have Kivat of Aim, is Baruch Hashem. Kivat of Aim. So on the side of the Dibros with all the Kvod Shemayim, that brings us to Kvod Shemayim, so maybe that's good to teach Daddy Mommy, right after Daddy Mommy, Torah Tzivalana. Heim b'maisa yom b'yom, every day in our actions, Yerashis Priyadam She'elech Kabeis HaKnesses, the first thing we do, go to shul. Don't wake up early to do work, if you have work, if you have studying. First, you have to start off going to shul, start off going to Davin. Kodim She'yasuk Basakov, V'utoelas Godel Kamed Varm, it's going to have a lot of toelas if you do this. No matter what, because you'll daven b'kavana. B'li machshav azara, without any machshav azara. I start wake up early so I could do some work, whether it's studying, and then I'm going to go daven. What's my mind? My davening will be on all the work I just did as well. But fresh from the beginning of the day, I start off my davening. That's the first thing I have to do. And not only that, besides that, you'll be much more masliach in your dealings also, in your learning, in your studying, in your work, if you start off with tefillah. In everything you do, even when eating and drinking, before you eat and drink yourself, go. What can you do good? Go give it to an ani. Give something to an ani. What's Toldos Yaakov telling us? He's telling the Haskola, the beginning has to be Kaddosh, and has an impression on everything else. Now we're in the beginning of the year. Now we just left Yom HaKippurim. Now we're at that time, but we can't let our guard down. The Yetzer Hara is starting right away. Rishon L'Cheshben Avoinos. But these are the days that we have to be most strong. These are the days we have to be most full of Chizuk. We have to start off our day. It's amazing. Even every day we start off, what's the first thing we do? We say Moedani. Moedani v'necha melchavim. We don't even wash our hands, we say Moedani. Imagine, why should we not at least wash our hands first? At least wash our hands. The rachra, the tumma, whatever it is, wash it off, then say Moedani. First, Moedani v'necha melchavim, k'em shechzar tovim nishmasi. Start off with those words. Thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'kiyum ha'im v'shama. First, before even we wash our hands. The beginning, that's chalos. The beginning of the year has to be kodesh kedoshim, full of such kedusha. These days should be full. Extra learning these days, extra davening days, and everything in my life to think about how is it l'chvod shemayim, and that's what the sukkah represents. We go right into a sukkah. These 4 days in between are just so we could prepare for sukkah. We need a few days of arachana. Those are when we prepare for sukkah. When would I get my lulav? When would I get an esrog? When do I build my sukkah? When would I prepare? So we have a few days to prepare. That's why we have the few days in between. That's what the Torah says. We're preparing with the mitzvahs of the day. That's why we're not worried about these 4 days. But then right into a sukkah to protect us. The sukkah, which is the Or Makif. The sukkah, which is Gematria, Yudke, Vavke, and Adnas together. Right? Very famous Gematria. The sukkah represents where we makadish everything in our lives to the Rabbeinu Shel, and that's what it represents, as we just explained from the Sifzei Chaim. That's how we defeat Yetzer Hara always. When I can't do it, when I'm not a Yom Kippur yet every day of my life, but a Purim Dekiyed, a Sukkot Dekiyed, that I could be always. And that's how I defeat the Yetzer Hara. And the Haskalah, it was so sad to me, let me tell you. Chesmi wasn't to say this one, but I doubt we'll ever get back to the guy. I don't know who the guy is. And I don't think he's the type of guy that would ever hear this. I'm not going to say my name. I don't know the name. I don't remember the name, so it's okay. But I was sitting near an individual who also, he was a Rebbe. Not from our neighborhood, in some other neighborhood. He was a Rebbe, and we were talking chinuch a little bit throughout. I was talking just the beginning of the flight. I learned a long time ago, beginning of flight before we took off. Learned many years ago not to try to go to sleep until the flight actually gets up into the air. Because, especially if you take something to help you go to sleep, that's what I'm saying. Because years ago I once did that, right, when I sat down, I said, I'm exhausted, okay, boom. And then 4 or 5 hours later, I was woken up. We never left the ground. There were some issues that we had to get off the flight. And it wasn't a good situation, whatever, maybe in the oven. So anyways, Lamaisa. So I'm talking to this guy, and then we spoke at the beginning of the flight, and I told him, I'm sorry, I haven't slept in a few days. I think I'm going to go to sleep now. And then I woke up the last hour and a half of the flight. And so that's what I had a B'nai Sasku with me. That's what I was pretty much learning for the end of the flight. The whole time, the whole last hour and a half, when I'm learning the B'nai Sasku, this individual next to me, said happens to be a Rebbe. The whole time he has his iPhone. And again, I don't think there's Wi-Fi or whatever there's up there in the air, but the whole time he's like just on his iPhone, I don't even think doing anything real, like just playing around with it and messing around and pressing buttons and doing it. I wasn't looking closely, but like pressing the iPhone for an hour and a half, for the entire hour and a half. Gilad, how you doing, Tzadik? I didn't mean that, not chizik you. Gilad's about to get me iPhones. But he claims he's putting every lock on it. It's going to act just like a regular phone, right? Gilad?
I hope so.
Okay, Bez Hashem. Anyways, Lemaisa, the whole time he's on the iPhone. And again, not that Chas V'Sholom did he do anything. There was no, I'm not saying he was looking at anything that were any Shemir Sanayim issues, and I'm assuming he has every lock in the world that he can't do that. And not that it was anything that he was doing that was Aser. But for an hour and a half, it was Bittel Zman. An entire hour and a half of Bittel Zman. And here we are, he was a Yidu also. He went there to Dural just to be there for Yom Kippur. He went there to Dural, he was there one extra day than me. But he went just to be there for Yom Kippur. So he has enough Baruch Hashem, he has enough of Chashivas, he wants to be there to Yom Kippur. But the moment after Yom Kippur, this last night, the moment after Yom Kippur, he's on a flight, and he has it in his life to just waste away an hour and a half. That's the Hischachas, that's the Haskalah of the Toldos Yaakov Yosef. That's what we're doing at this time, just wasting away that time. There's so much Torah to be learned. There's so much to be done. I was mamish inside, crying for him. That this is what he's doing moments after Yom Kippur. Just playing around on the iPhone. Shem Yirachim. So us as well, we have to ask ourselves. And we have to understand that as much as we went through Yom Kippur and we gained Kapara and Tahara, and Vada we did, it was a big day. And Vada we had a lot of Machshavos, Taharas, and it was... And we defeated the Yetzirah for that one day. But we can't forget the Yetzirah is coming back, constantly coming back. The Yetzirah is coming back. We have to defeat that as well through Sukkos, as the Zohar says, the Sukkah is protecting us from the Yetzirah. And that Sukkah of elevating everything in our life, Takarish Baruch Hu, there's nothing we can do. We have to be a Yaakov Dik Yid, a Teferis Dik Yid. A Yid who understands that everything's Ribbono Shel Olam. And when everything's Ribbono Shel Olam, then I'm besimcha every single moment. I'll have so much simcha in my life. You know, everyone in this room knows the simcha you felt yesterday. The simcha you felt specifically towards the end. That simcha of Kirvas Elokim. That simcha of Ne'ilah. The simcha of Shema Yisrael of Hashem Elokim. Yes, it was awesome and powerful, but there was a this deep simcha. The moment it was over, what simcha did we feel when we were singing Lashana Babi Yishlayim? It was amazing simcha. There was no simcha like it. You want to continue that, you have to be one with Hashem and elevate everything that Kodesh Baruch Hu Mirz Hashem, the schluss that we elevate everything that Boi Nishalom B'zoicha to have everlasting Simcha V'samachta B'chagecha Zman Simcha Seinu, not just for Sukkis V'zman Simcha Seinu L'netzach Nitzachim with Mashiach Zidkeinu B'mehera V'yameinu. We have a Heilige Shabbos Kodesh and a beautiful Heilige Yontiv. Bezin Hashem, by the way, here we can stop the recording now. Bezin Hashem.